But Peter, what I'm totally surprised about, right? You get a fella some time ago assumed to assault the police and walk to his car and get 8 shots in the back, right?
Yeah.
Get 8 shots in the back. He walking away from the police. Police followery. Bam, 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 bam. 8 shots. I watched on TV. I thought it was a sci-fi movie. Honestly, when I see this thing unfolding Wednesday evening, and I seen the police through CNN getting pinned between the door, he and his shield. And when I take a closer look, the same police got a gun at his side. And then when I look closely at the images, not one single black person or not one single the Indian people, we call them Hindus or Muslim, not one single Muslim, right? Because you know them by the headwear, okay? I see not one of them. And I see...
Yeah, but in fairness, though, they shot that woman. They shot that woman. In fairness to them, they shot that woman. So she was one person that was shot. But my concern is that only one person was shot. I'm trying to imagine a band of black thugs making their way up to the thing. And the police not opening fire on all of them.
I can tell
you have one single person shot as a result of all of that nonsense.
I don't celebrate.
My question is, you have all of these policemen that carrying weapons at this site, and none of them sought to discharge a weapon in defense of themselves.
Because the people
even the guy that was killed. I mean, they beat that guy with a fire extinguisher.
Peter, when they look, they see the people look like them. Every one single black man, every one single Indian, right? Or Hindu or Muslim, then that crowd, they would be sprayed with bullets. And they're fighting a vicious mob with batons. Let me say this here to you. I would not be so ignorant to celebrate a guy death, right? Whether you're good or bad. Mm-hmm. But I really feel for them, police. I really feel for them, right? I sorry that wanted to lose the life. But hey, man, they had a chance to take back that building. They refused. And I hope that every single last one of them should be fired, including the commander-in-chief. Honestly.
The commander-in-chief already resigned, so, I mean, you ain't got to worry about that. But one of the things that also fascinated me is that when the whole thing was done, they were allowed to retreat to their cars. So you saw the police, you know, ushering them out, and they left, and they went, did the flags and whatnot. They went again, the cars, and they drove home. And then the police have no to think. Now, my sense is, why is it that all of these people were not being arrested at that point in time and forced to essentially go into custody?
I can tell you why. The president come out in his ignorance and say, hey, it's time to go home now. We all love you. The elections get stolen from us. We all love you, so go home now. You understand? Mm-hmm. And everything was staying, and the police retreat. And their fellows was able to get in the car and get in the bus and all sort of thing and go back where they come from. Let me say a thing to you. This is the worst thing that I see the United States right now. I'm a big supporter of the United States. I want to put that up front. I like the United States, but this is the worst thing. This is the worst period and worst. When your history books is written, I think that this is what I like. As a matter of fact, it overrun, in my opinion, the Twin Tower crash. Honestly. Peter, thanks a lot for listening to me, man.
All right. No, thanks for raising it. And, you know, you're making a very valid point. This is a defining moment in American history. In the same way that the crash in the Twin Towers spoke to another form of disorder, I think that this has exposed certain weaknesses in the American system of government. It has exposed several biases. It has exposed a level of racism. It has exposed a lack of governance, the management of the police services. All of these things have been exposed. And it's interesting that it's happening at a time when the Black Lives Matter issue has presented itself and is telling us that there are other problems that are also in need of exposing. So I do feel that, you know, you're very much on the ball. And I think that we can take note in Barbados, and we can also take comfort. We had a situation in Guyana that was somewhat similar, in the sense that in Guyana, you had a government that was also convinced that they had also had the election stolen from them by the opposition, which was very much parallel to what happened in the United States. And I am thankful that it never got to the stage where the Guyana Parliament was stormed or there were any of these actions taken. And I think that it speaks to the decency of President Granger. I say what you like about President Granger in that he is inactive, and I call him all kinds of things because he takes too long to do everything he has to do. But in the final analysis, the man was a Democrat, the man was a gentleman, the man accepted the result when the result was given, albeit late, and he moved on. And for that, I think we are now seeing a distinguishing reality between President Granger and President Trump. And I think it is something about which we can be proud. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Vito.
Hey, good morning.
My reason for calling you today, I shipped a barrel from New York in November. It got into Barbados around the 14th of December. The shippers are Leparkin shippers. I went over to Leparkin after I came up with my quarantine. I pay them to deliver my barrel. Mr. Wickham, I'm waiting up until today for my barrel. I'm speaking to them every day in reference to my barrel. I'm getting all kind of runaround. Well, the story was that the barrel was transshipped. It did not came on the shipment that it was supposed to come on. It went on another shipment. The documents have to change over. The documents were supposed to change over last week. I got into my vehicle. I drove down to... I wanted to take my money back and get my bill of lading and find another company to clear my barrel. That did not happen because the broker was in the port trying to get the stuff done. Okay, I gave them Friday. I gave them yesterday. I called them this morning. I spoke to someone. I was really, really angry because I'm begging. I pay for service and I'm begging. And I was told the supervisor will call me back. I'm here sitting waiting for the supervisor. I have not heard a word. I said, you know, to them, I'm going to call Brass Tacks and I'm going to talk about you guys today because I'm at my wit's end. I let Christmas pass. In reference to the barrel, I let that pass. I wasn't rushing for anything in the barrel. I said I let that pass. But today is the 12th of the month. The barrel came in on the 14th, almost a month. I have not got my barrel. And no one can give me a valid reason for my barrel. Mm. Okay? I called New and asked them to speak to Leparkin in Barbados and ask them to deliver my barrel. I paid them for the service. What is the issue? The barrel is in the shed, and I know that for a fact is in shed too. We cannot go to the port and clear barrels. You have to get a broker to do that or the truckers. Okay, I decided to let Leparkin do that service for me. I paid them for the service. What is the issue?
Ma'am, the unfortunate problem, reality, is that I really can't help you because you have a problem with Leparkin. Leparkin is a private entity. We should not be advertising for them on this station, and we should not be abusing them on this station. And I think that this is an issue that you have to sort out with them. I can't help you, ma'am. Unfortunately, I can't.
Listen,
because
if
you were having
a
problem
me.
With the Water Authority...
I just want to put it out there that this is what happened to me. I don't want you to do anything for me in reference to that. I just wanted to put it out there.
Okay. All right, ma'am. So thanks for putting it out there. You're putting it on the table. And while you're at it, I want to thank you for your call. And while you're at it, I have had another report. The Barbados Water Authority is being asked to deal with a three-month-old leak in MAPS development in Stamford, St. Philip. St. Philip, of course, is known as the Republic, where several of our leaders live or have lived. The lady who spoke to me has been calling the Barbados Water Authority for the last 3 months. This is a lady without some, not who is not without some influence herself. And she too has gotten frustrated at the fact that she's been calling. The water is destroying the road. Government is unable to fix the road because it is private. The BWA came twice and looked at it and did nothing. So this is MAPS development in Stamford, St. Philip, a 3-month-old leak. And the request that someone from the Barbados Water Authority can take some interest in the matter because it is destroying the road. 3 months of water being lost is a significant amount of water being lost. So I'm appealing to the Barbados Water Authority in this way for some assistance in that regard. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Very well.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself? I'm great. I'm good.
Yes, sir. Well, mm-hmm. first of all, I want to say très bon to you and on your anniversary. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you will understand that French term, but that
means. Oui, 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 merci. Merci beaucoup. Yes.
Welcome. I want to also congratulate your fellow team player there, moderator David Ellis. On a couple of days mm-hmm. ago, when they had a talking on the
press conference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the press conference where they had a press conference and people were allowed to call in and ask some pertinent questions that need to be asked. And I really want to, I was quite surprised. David Ellis boiled at them very seriously on there, and he did an mm-hmm. excellent job, I must say. So congrats to him. Keep it up. I hope that won't be the first. Mm-hmm. And it won't be the last, I hope not. Mm-hmm. Also, what you said earlier pertaining to the fact of with the present situation as it is unfolding here with the tourism. Now, you said that we need the tourism. Yes, we need tourism. But I just want to add to that, whilst you need tourism and that is not the only thing we can rely on. No, tourism is not really strong in the area now with the presence of the coronavirus. So there are other areas, I believe, that we can dive into, you know, as far as the area of agriculture. There's a lot of wasted land here in Barbados, which you would have seen when you were here, and it's not being used. It's desolate. It's just there catching weeds and what have you. There are ways to use that land. We need to rely on agriculture. Agriculture is also a part of a bedrock of Barbados as well. And that area is basically not really being focused in on. And I am saying to the government of Barbados and to the Minister of Agriculture that perhaps you can consider, as it was suggested to you, right, by myself and others, that it was, you can zero in on that for now. Work on that area. Find ways and means of eating what you grow and growing what you eat, you know, and you can even utilize that area also for the average business guy out there, small business. Like the guy, is the guy over me that is up and down in the street, and I really applaud that young man, bright and early in the morning, selling his water and his juices in a hot boiling sun. And these kind of people we need to reach out to and work with them, the ones that are willing to work and push themselves up the entrepreneurial ladder. You work with them, right? Yes, tourism hopefully will come back in once we get this matter sorted out. But for right now, there are other areas. There are so much things we can use and to our advantage to put money back into the economy, to put money back into the average Bajan's pockets. But we are not really focusing on that, I find. And what next thing is in the health area. Now, yes, we have the coronavirus as that takes precedence. Yes, that's the main focus now. There's a lot of issues in that area, a lot of issues. But also, the health authorities must understand that the coronavirus is not the only sickness that we have here in Barbados. There are everyday illnesses that people, everybody gets sick. They can't always feel well there every day. If a particular polyclinic, I find, that not only that they're taking advantage, as I've heard you said more than once, and I agree with you, people using this coronavirus issue as a way to do things that they probably wanted to do when things were quote-unquote normal. And they're using it as a proverbial scapegoat to do what the hell they like, employers, what have you, et cetera, et cetera. And they find this is also leaking into the health sector. Now, I would challenge Jerome Walker. I would challenge Minister Bostic
to pay a visit in person. Forget the cameras, everything. You pay a surprise visit down there and see what people be really saying, what they have to deal with these, some of these nurses that should know better. The kind of response and the attitudes and the different low, very poor levels of customer service when you go in these clinics. Yeah, you're focusing on an area. What I can suggest, if I may, to the government, to the health, to the Ministry of Wellness and Health, you know, that you can separate the two. This is my suggestion. You separate one area for the coronavirus. You have somebody designated dealing with all the issues. I mean, all the issues pertaining to COVID-19, whereas in getting checked, people getting back their results on time and what have you. Then you have another area designated somebody in that area that will deal with the normal ills, the normal sicknesses, because we have a lot of different ailments about here. And that should not take a back burner. Like somebody will come and tell you, or say you, for instance, you go on to get your blood tested. They say, oh, we don't know when we can do the blood test again. And just leave you there hanging. There's no explanation. Yeah. There's no follow-up. There's nothing. And this is what's going on in a particular polyclinic. Dennis would know which polyclinic I mean. I'm sure he would know. Probably he had related to you. He would not call the name on air, right? And I mean, this behavior, this particular polyclinic, there's well known for very poor customer service, especially in the area of the dispensary. They have to go and collect your medication. I wonder who really trained them.
All right. Sir, a couple of things I wanted to say to you. To the best of my knowledge, I went through the COVID process. I came into Barbados. I was quarantined for a period. I was retested locally. I had the good fortune of being tested in France and then tested in Barbados, and I can compare the two experiences. And honestly, I thought that the Barbados experience was considerably superior. When I was tested in France, I lined up at a public facility in the zero degree temperatures and waited for quite some time to get my test done. When I was in Barbados, I was escorted into a room and I was put to wait on a chair. But generally speaking, the response that I received in Barbados was so much better. And I think it was the same for most of the people that went through that experience. We have run into some challenges regarding testing results and so on, but I think that that is something that we've spoken to extensively on the program. But I do not believe that it is fair to condemn the process that has been set up to manage the COVID issue. In every polyclinic, to the best of my knowledge, the COVID section is separate. To suggest that you are setting up or you're mixing COVID people with other people is not really correct, because that's not the experience that I've seen. It's a separate section that has been set up to deal with COVID. And those are the people that are dealing with it. What I believe has happened is that you have pulled some staff from regular duties to use in the COVID section, which is something that one must expect would happen unless government was in a position to employ a whole new set of staff, which I don't really know that we have the financial capacity or human resource to deal with. So that's my response generally. I think that you're on relatively good ground in terms of saying that, you know, you expect a level of customer service. I just want to say that having been through it, I really don't know that the level of customer services is that wanting. I do, however, feel it is overwhelmed. And I appreciate that with the best of intention, nurses and doctors and other people that work in the system, when they're under the kind of pressure that people have been under, sometimes they will crack. And that's really what we have been seeing. We've been seeing people who have been under intense pressure. So let's be clear. When this thing happened, we expected that in 3 months, we would have been able to get back to work and things would go back to normal. It's been a year. It's been almost a year now. March would be a year since we have had the lockdown and we have had these processes in place. And I think that we're really essentially seeing a level of exhaustion on the part of people where they just can't take anymore. And to have a second wave with all of these problems manifesting themselves now, it's presenting some challenges. So that's my response to this, to the questions that you've raised. I don't think that you are being unreasonable. And I think that your comments and your concerns have to be heard. But I do feel that there's a reasonable defense that can be given. Someone has asked me to read this, and they say that, Peter, my view is that government needs to take stock of the testing capacity and perhaps limit testing per day to capacity levels, even if by appointment or only to get this under control. I also believe that government should have set a minimum turnaround time of 48 to 72 hours. This was done in Ontario during the first wave to get testing under control, and although it was not popular, it helped to manage expectations. In relation to anti-America, I do believe that Dr. Ford, who states who is on ventilation and that these people are kept at either Enmore or Harrison's Point. I can't remember which, but I stand to be corrected on that. And you are correct, sir, that he normally indicates who is on ventilators at Harrison's Point. And to the best of my knowledge, it is no one. I also wish to remind Barbadians that is the third lane of defense after government and hotels, as many persons have questioned government protocols, they need to do what they have to do to protect themselves. And that is a reasonable point that this gentleman is making. You gotta protect yourself. So, you know, when all else fails, you make sure you wash your hands, you sanitize, you wear a mask, you put, you know, you do take the necessary measures to ensure you socially distance. Take the necessary measures to ensure that you don't expose yourself unnecessarily. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, 4341. Hi, morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, sir. How are you doing? You and your family?
My name, I'm good. We're great.
Okay,
great. A little cold, but nonetheless, great. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can drink a shot of whiskey or something. It might give you a bit of warmth.
Man, I got a nice bottle of XO up here, keeping my company. So
there you go.
That's important. Never leave home without it.
You'll find a way to generate warmth. Don't worry about it.
This is indeed, yes.
Okay, Peter, I understand that you were taken aback. You were a bit surprised when you saw the events unfolding on Capitol Hill in the United States. Actually, I'm not. Mm. In my mind, America is Ku Klux Klan country. And if you study American history, Americans have a history of slaughtering people, slaughtering the Indians, slaughtering the Caribou. I know if you ever read about a massacre at My Lai in Vietnam. And I think Americans are very, very brutish people. What I will say to you, if black people in America were so drunk to have attempted that, you could rest assured there would have been a bloodbath. It was taken centuries to clean the blood from in Capitol Hill. So
yeah, but Biden said so.
He actually said it?
Yeah, like, Biden said it. Biden said that there was a disproportionate reaction on the part of police, and if there were Black Lives Matter protesters, he can't imagine what would have happened. Biden said it. And my thing is that when you hear the President of the United States, white as he is, standing from that podium and acknowledging the fact that there was a disproportionate reaction because of the color of the people's skin, my thing that is a home run. So at least there's an acknowledgement. You know that there is a problem. And I do feel that America going forward will be a different place.
Well, I certainly hope so. I don't know if you recall in 1920, at what people call, refer to as Black Wall Street, where they had this little enclave where the blacks tried to establish a little business.
That's right, yeah.
The mainstream man and slaughter, down to the very, very babies. So I see Americans as quite racist and brutish people. But what I want to talk about, Peter, is... In my opinion, right, one of the most despicable human attitudes is that of being stubborn and rebellious and all there, right? Really. Now, when our Prime Minister resorted to the stern and no-nonsense demeanor to try to dissuade people from playing the backside in relation to mass rain and other safety protocols, some people took offense and said that the Prime Minister appeared to be scolding us. Peter, anybody can scold me, want to scold me for my good. And any human being, man, woman, or girl, right, who cannot accept a rebuke and correction when they're wrong, I personally dismiss them as being demonic. In the circumstances, the Prime Minister was gracious enough to apologize, right? Which I suppose is setting a good example to our country, especially to our females, right? But in all honesty, I don't think that the Prime Minister needs to be apologizing to anybody for calling a spade, right? I am not one.
What did she apologize for?
Right. She came back and said, somebody said, I appear to be scolding winner. But really, not a scolding winner, it's because I love winner, right? She explained where she was coming from, right? But I didn't think there was any grounds for it. Anyway, right? And I don't agree in offering appeasement to people who engage in reckless, unruly behavior, right? Peter, on the question of supermarkets, right now...
But sir, hold on a second, though. What was the reckless and unruly behavior that you felt that people engaged in?
Peter, I find that a significant amount of people have made up their minds that they are not wearing masks, one.
That's unacceptable. No, we can go down. We can go down the road with that. That is unacceptable.
Peter,
I think that people who refuse to sanitize, people who refuse to wear masks, is unacceptable. What I am not prepared to accept is that anybody who went to a brass crawl was reckless and unruly. Even though I did see people walking up in a manner that could be considered lewd, but I don't know that that was reckless and unruly because they weren't doing anything that nobody tell them they can't do.
Peter, I'll comment on that.
What do you think?
Well, I'll comment on that. But first, I want to say about the problems we have when they go into the supermarkets. There are guards at the doors insisting that you need to wear your mask and so on. People wear the mask, and as soon as they gain entry, they pull the bloody mask down beneath their noses and chins. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And another important thing that we need to point out, it isn't just wearing a mask. The mask needs to be correctly designed. Now, these little nippy homemade masks that people are wearing, they do not work. I see the cashiers in the supermarkets forever. As soon as they open their mouths or they turn their heads around, these things keep slipping down. You need to have the mask that has the pleats, the accordion pleating light, so it has the extra capacity that, you know, even if you open your mouth or you have to make a sudden jerk around your head, you have the room in there to accommodate that movement. Because if you are wearing a mask and every 5 seconds you have to be pulling it back up, that's actually more dangerous than not wearing any at all. So maybe we need to emphasize the point of wearing masks that are correctly designed. Now, on the question of the bus call, Peter, I am not sure that I share your opinion. In the middle of a pandemic, right? I mean, being responsible isn't merely about adhering to what the law says. You know, the intelligence and discretion often go beyond what is legal. And I'm saying for people to be in a bus at that time, as I understand it, going from ram shop to ram shop, to me, that has contributed to the enormous surge we have in cases.
I am trying to unpack the level of judgment from your statement. You realize what you just said?
To be packed
in a bus going from ram shop to ram shop in these circumstances is irresponsible. Suppose they were going from church to church. If it was a church crawl, were you going from church to church? I'll let you know, you see people on when they're doing the 12 stations of the cross.
Yeah.
So if you were to do these 12 stations and you move from station to station, you pack in a bus and you go to the next station, you pray, you pack back in the bus, you go to the next station that you pray. And every time you pray, you sprinkle in holy water. Holy water, of course, can convey COVID just as easily. And you sprinkle in it and so on. Would you say that that's irresponsible?
Well, I take your argument to be saying that both instances would in the circumstances would be irresponsible behavior, and I agree with you.